Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Good morning. It is that time of the week where we shift our focus to China.
In a leaked 2015 government paper, it was revealed that a discussion by top Chinese scientists who said a virus could be unleashed in a way never seen before.
Oh, hang on.
True.
Like, why are they saying this now?
Well, we will find out.
Okay, China, as you know, is also on their way to becoming more environmentally friendly. But will China's push to cut carbon emissions actually boost risks for part of the country? I mean, is it worth the risk for China in that sense?
Mm-hmm. And the WHO approving the Sinopharm vaccine, which is made by China. Can we expect China's other COVID-19 vaccine, Sinovac biotech, to get the same kind of approval?
All right, let's get some analysis on these headlines and more. On the line with us is Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning.
Another week, more developments. Very interesting. We got to talk about this thing. My gosh, this leaked Chinese document revealing this sinister plan, if I'm choosing the right words, to unleash coronaviruses. So it's a leaked 2015 government paper. And in this paper, it was revealed that a discussion by top Chinese scientists saying that a virus could be unleashed in a way never seen before.
Dr. Oh, can we verify the legitimacy of this leaked document? It sounds very disturbing, but what else can you say? What do you know about it? What's in the document?
Well, I think it's a first leak by some Australian media. And of course, nowadays, China-Australian relationship is, of course, not in the best of shape. And then Australia was also questioning China's official role in this coronavirus outbreak and so on. Then I think this is, if true, it will be some sort of concept paper, right? So how do you get from a concept paper to actually, as they allege, unleash this coronavirus? I think it's indeed there should be some evidential items to be reviewed, to be collected, and so on. And so far, we have seen none. So, of course, there are all these conspiracy theories abound, but lacking evidence, it's very difficult to verify here. Yeah.
Well, from 2015 to 2020, some would argue that's a lot of time to put this in place, if in case it is true. But your first words, Dr. Oh, that it was leaked by an Australian media agency, sort of, you know, first thing in my mind was really what you mentioned, to discredit it because of the ongoing feud between the two countries.
Well, I think the World Health Organization, for example, they visited some of the Wuhan sites and so on, and I think their conclusion based on those visits was somewhat indeed that, you know, how the coronavirus came out and so on, it's still to be conclusive. I mean, even WHO hasn't at this point put out conclusive evidence as to what is the actual source of the coronavirus outbreak here.
I don't know, man. This concept paper sounds like a rejected movie script. It's not funny anymore. Dr. Oh, according to an analysis from Nomura, China's bond defaults are increasingly concentrated in a part of the country whose growth could face higher pressure from tough new restrictions on carbon emissions. So we know China wants to reduce carbon emissions by 2030. So naturally, there'll be restrictions. But, you know, is it worth it for China? Which parts of the country would be affected by it? What kind of risks do any part of China face with regard to this?
Well, if you have visited Beijing, let's say 5 years ago, as I often did then, you know, you would experience sort of like a crimson sky. We are talking about in the morning, huh? Not in the east, not like the, you know, dawn or dusk. And it's very difficult to breathe sometimes. So I think the Chinese authorities thought that, well, this is, of course, not conducive to their health, to their well-being and so on. But, of course, the predominance of this heavy industry which sort of spew out this sort of pollution is from the northern part of China, okay. and especially, for example, the northeastern part. And as you mentioned, this sort of bond default, two-thirds of it last year occurred in this old industrial belt in China. So, well, China would have to balance between, on the one hand, preserving the health and well-being of its citizens, and on the other hand, well, you have to sacrifice a certain degree of economic growth to achieve those aims.
But it's interesting, right? This crimson sky. I mean, Tim, I'm sure you've mm-hmm. seen photos of this as well. Can you imagine? It was just 5 years ago. All things considered, yeah, it's quite fast.
There was that moment when Beijing was closing nearby factories because of bad air quality and all those things. Dr. Oh, according to Chinese media, the remnants of China's biggest rocket landed somewhere in the Indian Ocean, and the bulk of its components, as we all expected, would have been disintegrating upon re-entry to the Earth's atmosphere. I've been saying this since last week. However, the Western media once again making a big deal out of this uncontrolled remnant of the rocket, the March 5 rocket. And NASA was, you know, drumming up concern that it could land in a populated area. Why do you think there's so much criticism with China's space exploration efforts?
Well, I think a lot of criticisms, it's also due to the fact that China did not officially respond to some initial criticism until almost the very last moment before those so-called rocket stages, those are basically the booster rockets, sort of drop into the Indian Ocean. So if they would have come out much earlier to give some explanation, for example, saying, oh, we do have some sort of controllability over those rocket stages. It's not just, you know, free fall and so on. It would have dispelled a lot of myths. But, you know, China very often state secrets and so on. They are guarding it very, very carefully. Yeah.
But this has always been how the Chinese culture society works, right? You don't really disclose anything unless you have to.
Indeed. So this is in stark contrast to a more Western-oriented type of mentality, right? Yeah, but you have all this sort of transparency and public rights to know and so on. So, yeah, I think the initial reluctance to release information has indeed fueled this sort of criticism.
Dr. Oh, final question, and this is the big one. The approval from the WHO of China's state-owned drug maker Sinopharm's COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use. So that's good news and some level of assurances with regard to the vaccines that Sinopharm produces. What can we expect now then? I mean, is China going to step up and save the world as they said they would at the start of the coronavirus? Will we see more countries, you know, start to approve the use of this vaccine?
Well, I think it boils down to the availability and also affordability of these vaccines, right? We are seeing huge parts of the world which are still lacking in terms of the availability of the vaccines, and sometimes it's difficult to store them and so on. So I think WHO, it's also rather practical in this respect. The China vaccine, the two of them, Sinovac and Sinopharm, they suffer from perhaps a lack of, again, publicly available information, right? In, for example, peer-reviewed journals and so on. So as such, well, people are somewhat reluctant. But with WHO's endorsement, well, nowadays, hopefully they could roll out more of these vaccines and more people could get vaccinated around the world, because it's really getting very serious.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Oh A. Sun, Senior Fellow at Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, as always, we appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.